Hello, I'm Professor Liu. Welcome to our video where I give advice for artists. Today we are talking about the top five reasons why you're being rejected as an artist. If you want to grow as a visual artist but you can't afford to take art classes, we've got everything you need here at ArtProf, tutorials, critiques, and pro development resources. You can get started by subscribing to our channel and ringing the bell to make sure you don't miss out on anything. All right, I was thinking this would be a really good topic to discuss because I don't know that you can be an artist and not experience some form of rejection. I can tell you I've experienced pretty much every level of rejection that possibly exists out there. Basically, anytime there's an opportunity for an artist, there's another opportunity to be rejected. For example, if you're applying for an artist grant, for graduate school, undergrad school, jobs, if you apply for a juried exhibition, maybe you're trying to get gallery representation. There's just so many reasons you can be rejected as an artist. And I think what I want to break down for everybody is that most of the time, the reason you're being rejected actually does not have a lot to do with you. Sometimes it does to a certain degree, but from what I've seen, that's actually a very small percentage of the reason. And I'm hoping by breaking down a lot of these reasons, you guys will start to see that it's actually a waste of your energy to get really worked up about it. I mean, I do that too. Trust me, I have been through the ropes a million times as far as being rejected, but you do need to figure out coping strategies for how to do it because you can go crazy pretty fast if you don't do that. The first reason why you're probably getting rejected is because just so many people apply. The numbers in a lot of situations when it comes to visual artists are definitely working against you. For example, I know a lot of college teaching jobs, they're only gonna hire one person. And I have seen job openings at the college level where there's 400 applicants. I mean, what are the chances that you're gonna get that position? It's incredibly low. And I know that the year I applied for my MFA program, the numbers were just astronomically high because I applied to graduate school in 2002, and that was a year right after 2001. And because of 9/11, just everybody was going back to graduate school that year. And I remember showing one of my friends the numbers for how many slots there were and how many people were applying. And she actually went to Harvard Medical School and said to me, Clara, these numbers are like worse than medical school. And so that's got to really tell you what's going on in there. Those of you who are watching right now, jump into the chat and name a moment in your life when you were rejected and tell me what context it was in. Were you rejected from a job, from a juried show, and maybe a little bit about how it made you feel if you were all tied up in knots about it for 3 years, if you got upset for 3 hours and then got over it. I think we all have a rejection story. Boy, do I have a lot. And you guys are going to hear about that. So basically, the issue with so many numbers of people applying for the same thing is that at a certain point, it's not about who's qualified anymore. Because if you're trying to pick one person out of 400, it's not really about, oh, well, Sarah's very qualified, but Sam is not. It's not like that. It's more like, okay, well, Sarah and Sam are both super qualified, but we got to pick one of them. The way that I describe it to a lot of people, it's basically, did you eat a tuna sandwich today or ham sandwich? That's really what it is. It can almost feel at that point like pulling names out of a hat because the numbers are so much against you. Let's see, Amaris in the chat is saying I was rejected from a fine fiber arts show recently, and Hamza was rejected from a magnet high school, very, very upset for a while, afterwards applied for a major arts high school and got in. So I think of the first rejection as a blessing. You know something? That happens a lot, where you have your sight really set on a particular goal and it doesn't work out and it's crushing. I mean, I had a former student many years ago. She had her number one choice art school that she really, really wanted to go to. And I wrote her a letter of recommendation and was very supportive of her application. And later on, she told me, you know what? I applied to 7 art schools and the only school that I didn't get into was my number one choice. Like, just think about how that feels. It was really bad. But you know something? I've kept in touch with the student and she is just thriving at this other art school, just loves it. And so sometimes it's actually not such a bad thing, even though in the moment it feels like the apocalypse. All right. The second reason why you might be getting rejected is if it's not the right fit. Because I think in a lot of circumstances as an artist, it's more like dating. It's not that one artist is so much better than another artist. A lot of times it's just, well, the gallery that you're applying to, they happen to show this type of work, but you don't fit that profile. And so I think that a lot of times, especially sometimes this actually comes down to the artist because, for example, many years ago, I used to be the gallery director of this gallery at a college I was working at. And so we would get unsolicited submissions all the time from artists. I would just get stuff in the mail. I would get emails and stuff like that. People saying, hi, this is my artwork. I really want to have a show somewhere. That was all the time. And I know for a while when I was a student and I was, well, not when I was a student, but when I was on the other side of the fence as an artist trying to get into galleries, I used to complain a lot about, oh man, these galleries, it's so unfair. They won't even look at the work you're doing. But then when I was a gallery director, I totally understood why people did it that way. Because basically I'd get people submitting their artwork to me who clearly did not do their research, who didn't really know what our gallery was, what type of programming we did, and really what was the mission of the gallery. It was very obvious when I looked at their portfolio that they had not done that. And I would just really discourage you guys from blindly sending out just tons and tons of inquiries or applications to places just because you want to cast a wide net. Casting a wide net is good, but you have to be very targeted about who you're sending your stuff to, because there are some galleries, if they don't specialize in your area, it's a waste of your time and their time to be submitting the work. So do your research because it's a real hassle for everybody. Yo LK in the chat is saying, I did a whole portfolio for an artistic job, so passionate about it and exited, didn't even hear back. Later, I realized my portfolio wasn't good enough, but it took a while. Yeah, a lot of the times, I think you guys will find that it's much more common to just have people totally ghost you. Like, I'm actually at a point now, I've been rejected so many times from so many things that if somebody actually takes the time to reject me, I'm like grateful. I'm like, oh my gosh, this person took the time to acknowledge that I am not a good fit for them. And I think that that really says something because I have a lot of students who I advise right now, and a lot of them get very stressed out about summer internships and things that they're applying for. And they say things to me like, oh, I sent in this application. It's been 2 weeks. Nothing's happened. I'm like, really? 2 weeks? I'm like, give it like 6 months and then we'll talk. Because most of the time you just will not hear back. But the other thing about it being the right fit is that people really are searching for something specific and you have to fit that profile. So I know, for example, a lot of art departments at the college level, they have a certain range of faculty that they like to maintain. So for example, if you have an art department at a college, and let's say there are 15 faculty members in studio art, and let's say 3 of those faculty specialize in painting, okay? If 2 of those faculty in painting are abstract artists, chances are they're not gonna wanna hire another abstract artist because that's not a very good balance in terms of diversifying their faculty. They probably are going to be looking for somebody who maybe works figuratively or is distinctive in some other way. And so you could be an absolutely brilliant abstract painter and you could apply to this job and just never know that that was the reason why. It's not because you're a bad painter. It's just they weren't looking for you. They were looking for something completely different. So do your research. I mean, every time I apply for a job, I will look at the profile of the school. I will look at the student artwork that's being made. I'll search their course listings. I will Google every single faculty member and just say, hey, does this look like a good fit for me? Obviously, there's a limit to how much you can figure out from that. But I think the key thing, guys, do your research. Find out exactly who you're applying to. If you are just joining us, I'd love for you to jump in the chat. Tell me an instance of being rejected as an artist and what context it was in and maybe what your reaction was. Because I think there are many degrees of rejection. I think there are some rejections which don't really have a big impact, but just sort of feel annoying. Like one thing that I was talking to one of our users about in a stream last week, they were talking about how sometimes they would get like no reaction to an artwork that they say posted on Instagram and how lousy that made them feel. Like that in a sense can feel like a form of rejection, even though you're not applying for something. And honestly, I think getting ghosted and having people just not acknowledge you is like way more upsetting. I think when you actually get a rejection, at least somebody's acknowledging that you exist. Like that's, you get to a point where you've just gone through so much of that, that you start to be appreciative for the very little things in life. Okay, let's talk a little bit about juried exhibitions, because Amara said in the chat that they were rejected from a fiber arts show. And I have definitely been on both sides of the fence. I have applied for shows and grants as an artist, but I have also been a juror. And I've been a juror for exhibitions at universities. I've also did a jurying for an artist fellowship. And actually, one year I did judge with a whole bunch of other people the Scholastic Art Awards in Boston, that particular region. And I have to tell you, I was floored by how totally random the process is. I think a lot of times when people submit their work for these juried shows, their immediate assumption is, oh, well, the best work gets in. So if I am good enough, I will get into the show. And if I don't get into the show, it means my work is not good. It's not that at all, guys. In terms of jurying, there's a lot of things that happen that I found really infuriating from my end as a juror. For example, I once juried a student exhibition, and I believe that I was with two other people who were not studio artists. I think one of them was a curator, and I think the other one was actually a studio artist. But anyway, we're walking through and we're looking at all the work, and we're discussing and talking about reasons why we think a piece should be in the show or not. And I remember this curator who was not nobody, I'm not going to name any names here, but they pointed to this like textured encaustic piece and said to me, oh, well, I just have a thing for work like this, so I wanted to be in the show. And I was like, what? I'm like, that's not why you put something in a show, because you have an inherent bias. You put it in the show because you think it fits the theme and because you think it's good quality and because it's a good reaction to their work. I mean, I was just floored by how shallow that was. It just seemed so ridiculous. Let's see. Neural Osman in the chat is saying about Instagram and social media getting no comments. Definitely feels like rejection. I have a lot of online friends who are very talented, but feel they're not appreciated, myself included. I think it's very, very common. And it's one of those circumstances where I really hate social media, because it's such a disservice when you're a younger artist and just getting started. I don't tend to care that much, because when I was just getting started, there was no social media. So I didn't have anything to compare myself against. And the thing is, I'm established enough now and I have enough of a professional track record that I feel I have something holding myself up. And so I don't worry a lot about my confidence there. But I can tell you guys, if I was 16 and I was posting my stuff on Instagram and getting stuff like that, I think absolutely it must be crushing for a lot of people. And so for a lot of students, I actually say, guys, if you want to share something, maybe you should share it in like a group chat somewhere. Like I know a lot of people have like a WhatsApp discussion with family and friends. Like, so you can show it to community people, but it's sort of like a private space. And I also think in a space like that, people are more likely to reply, because the whole public face of that, I don't like that. And the other thing is that the stuff that gets liked on Instagram, at least in my experience, it's not my best work. Like I'll post on Instagram some crummy little gesture drawing that I did in like 5 minutes, and it's not a big fuss to me, and it'll get so many likes. And then I'll post some artwork that I've been laboring on for multiple months and invested so much time, and it'll get like a quarter the number of likes. So the thing is, Instagram is not reflective or accurate in terms of measuring the impact of your work in the professional art world. Because if I posted that crummy little gesture drawing in a professional show I was in, people would think, what's wrong with you? That's not really what's right for this. And the other work would be a lot more applauded. So guys, social media, sometimes you got to take a break or just not post it or just share it with personal friends. Sista Bear says, I applied for a small grant from an arts organization. I didn't get it. I looked at my application after your year. I could see why I didn't get it. I mean, that's definitely sometimes the case. I have definitely looked back on old applications, and at the time I was like, why did I get rejected? And then I look back, I'm like, oh, that's why. So sometimes it is you, and sometimes it's not the right fit. I'm just saying that the assumption for a lot of people is I didn't get in because I am not good enough, or my work wasn't the best. And it's never that clear cut, guys. Let's see. Thank you for popping in, Crystal T. And Hamza is on a 2-week hiatus, super helpful for the artistic process. Yeah, guys, just take a break. You don't have to be on Instagram all the time. There's so many other ways that you can creatively stimulate yourself. Hi, 10,000 Crows. Katie Harris is in high school, just now starting to feel the fear of rejection. I'm participating in GHP, have this daydream about what comes next, but I'm really scared of failing. Katie, can you tell me what GHP is? Because I actually don't know what that is, and maybe I can comment a little bit more. But anyway, here's another example. So when I was jurying for this artist fellowship, it was for a major grant from, it's like one of those state fellowships. And so it was me and two other artists, and we had 40 applications, and we had to pick one winner and one like second prize or something like that. Just picture whittling down 40 artists to one. It was really hard. We were there for like 8 hours, because here's the thing. The first pass of this fellowship was they just would show the picture of the artist on the screen, and we would just write down on a sheet of paper, yes, no, or maybe. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, okay, well, if there's 40 applicants and we can only pick two people to win, I better not say yes or maybe to a lot of these people. I probably should only say yes or maybe to a few of them, because otherwise it's not going to work out. And so I did that, and that was fine. But there was one guy in the jury, like every single one was yes or maybe. I'm like, dude, we're never going to get out of here if you don't do that. And in the end, the person we picked to win the fellowship, I felt pretty good about that decision. But the honorable mention person, I didn't think that they were that great, but it sort of just got to a point where you just had to pick one. And so it's not that it was like, oh God, I'm so opposed to this. I would have said something if that were the case, but I wasn't that enthusiastic about them. I just was sort of like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But at a certain point, you got three people, 40 applicants, you got to just pick one. You have to make those decisions. Let's see. Sista Bear is saying, I decided not to post on social media so much. I've been enjoying just making things for myself. Yeah, I mean, when's the last time, you guys, did you make something and not show it to anybody? That is very personal and private. And I think that is something people don't do enough anymore, because I think I have been doing this thing. So on ArtProf, one of the Patreon rewards. If you donate $5 a month, I will send you snail mail. Okay. And the whole idea about the snail mail, it's like a piece of artwork. So I'll like send out a postcard and I'll make something on it, is that it's totally exclusive. So nobody else can see it. I'm not allowed to post it online. I'm not allowed to show it to anybody. And I looked at the work I've been making for this Patreon reward. And I was like, wow, I really like this, because it felt so liberating to make something and know that just this small group of people were going to see it. And I've been doing all sorts of weird things. The other day I did one that involved me putting on lipstick and like kissing the paper. Like, when's the next time I would do that on a social media post? Probably never. Let's see. Alana Kathleen, I feel like I understand a little more now about the importance of mature team artwork. Yes, a lot of that's perspective and experience. And Maria Rev is saying, I was pretty crushed when I got the interview for the art program, then got told my work wasn't competitive enough to get a spot with the program. Oh, God. Yeah, I think I was saying earlier how sometimes you're grateful to be rejected, but there are definitely times when people just really don't need to embellish their answers very much. Like, I remember once I submitted a cold call application to a university I wanted to teach at. And I just wrote to the department head and I said, hello, I just got my master's degree and I'm very interested in teaching at your school. And that was fine. And most of the time I would get ghosted, or I would get some polite reply that says, thank you for your interest, but we're not hiring right now. And I got one reply. The person was so explicit. They were like, sorry, but you currently do not have the qualifications to be teaching at the college level. I was like, wow, dude, that took a lot of effort and time to like type that out to me. So you will get people who really are just not nice about it. It's just really not necessary. Al Shapiro is saying, took about a week to recover emotionally from rejection. After that, it doesn't bother me at all. Yeah, I mean, what happens with me, if I get a rejection, I will be mad about it for about a half an hour and defensive about it, but then I get over it pretty fast. The one time I think it really took me time to get over, I'm not going to get into any more details, but basically you can get into professional situations where you are rejected by people you know, and you know that those people know that you applied and that they rejected you. And one of the reasons this happens is because the art world is a really small place and everybody knows everybody. For example, the Massachusetts Cultural Council fellowships, usually when you, well, not usually, but when you apply, you are not allowed to have anything in your imagery that identifies you. So you can't have like your signature on it. They ask you specifically to remove that because the jurying is done anonymously. But the thing is, people in Massachusetts, the artist community, we all know each other so well that I imagine if I was on that jury, it would be really hard for me not to recognize like half the people in that roster. And so it gets very awkward. And that's when it just stings, when it's like, oh my God, I know these people. They know my work. They know what I'm all about. Like, it's actually a little bit easier to take when it's from just these anonymous people you don't really have very much to do with. Okay, Katie Harris, Governor's Honors Program. Okay, 11th and 10th graders to take college classes. You're in the middle of the application process. Okay, well, good luck with that. I hope that works out for you. And Tammy's saying, I've painted many things, put them away in a drawer somewhere where I can't look at it. Hopefully I have enough courage to send you something to critique. Absolutely. I'd love to see your work, Tammy, because you're always on our streams and I love hearing your comments. So definitely submit. And guys, if you want to submit for a live critique here on our YouTube channel, you can also submit a work in progress, because I know it feels like a big thing to like submit your work. But if you explicitly say in your form that you submit, this is a work in progress, here are the things I want to know, sometimes that's more useful than when you're finished with the artwork, because we can catch things sooner. So please don't hesitate to submit, because I love seeing what you guys are doing. Maria Casado saying, are there certain characteristics that make a piece come off as juvenile? I don't think I can really give an accurate answer to that, because it really, really depends on the context, the industry. I mean, something that might be considered totally fine in, say, children's book illustration would be totally dismissed in the fine arts world and vice versa. So there's quite a bit of that. And Hamza saying, top choice is RISD. I'm not sure what I'd do instead if I don't get in. I know the college stuff, guys, I feel for you because it's so much more hyped up now than it was when I was in high school. I mean, we were stressed about it, but not the way that I see students today. So, I mean, just one step at a time. I mean, I feel for you. Let's see. I'm in love with my car and Rogerina, great name. I just applied for this high school. It went well. I'm worried if I don't get in, I won't know how to tell family and people who want to know about it. Yeah, I mean, I know this isn't always a possibility, but I don't usually tell people when I've applied for something because you just don't want to be in that awkward situation where you have to explain that. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but that can happen sometimes. Okay, so we have the jurying process. And then you know what else happened? Okay, sometimes it's the opposite where the work really isn't that good, but in the jurying process, it got bumped up. So when I did Scholastic Art Awards, which is like a national competition, there's regional sections to it for high school students. And those of you who are in high school, you might know that they give out silver keys, gold key is the higher award. And I think they also have like juror's commendation or something like that. And so we went through like tons and tons of pieces and we had decided, okay, these are the gold key pieces, these are the silver key pieces. And then the coordinator comes in and he's like, you guys didn't pick enough gold key pieces. And we're like, what? He's like, you need to bump up a bunch of these silver keys and turn them into gold keys. I'm like, no, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, we should give the gold keys to the pieces we think need gold keys, and not just because you think there should be 13 and not 8. So sometimes stuff like that happens, and it's just really frustrating to see that. And then another thing, guys, is that every juror is different. I have been the juror for a lot of juried shows, and when I go in and I look at the work in the gallery, I'm totally different than somebody else. I mean, you could have another person who's the same level of experience and professional background as me, and all the pieces that they reject could be pieces that I put in. And so really, it just is like personal preference. It's not about like, oh, well, this person's painting is better. It's like, well, does it speak to me a certain way? And maybe it didn't speak to that other juror. So a lot of this is very flawed. Hamza's asking, will you do a live stream on college admissions? Hamza, we actually did quite a few of those last month and also in the fall. So if you go into our playlist, you will find there's a playlist called Art School Portfolios Q&A, and probably a lot of your questions are in there. But if you guys want some college admission stuff, I'd really recommend you watch our Portfolio Critique Marathon, which is coming up this Saturday. A lot of the portfolios we will be looking at are from people who are going to apply to art school this year. And so that would probably be the closest time in terms of doing something live. But we also have a section on artprof.org, complete art school portfolios guide. If you have not looked at that yet, definitely check it out. And Maria's asking, any tips for big high school contests like Young Arts and National Scholastic? My only advice, you guys, just do the best you can and don't blame yourself if you don't win. Because there's a lot of artwork that I don't think is very good that maybe one of my colleagues would think was pretty good. I mean, sometimes we line up, but other times we don't. So it's not necessarily about your artwork. Okay, number four, why you might be getting rejected is bad timing. So for example, when I was trying to get into the press, I was trying to contact reporters and journalists and radio stations, I was trying to make contact with them. And sometimes I would actually get contact. So they would like write back, which is like a miracle if that ever happened. And you get all excited because you're like, oh, wow, they're actually talking to me and they're acknowledging me. And I get so frustrated because then they would ghost me. I'm like, what's going on? Like, they're totally leading me on because they would act all interested and then just like drop it. And then I realized later on, somebody explained to me that a lot of the times if you're a journalist, sometimes the timing of the article doesn't work out. For example, maybe they're about to write about your work, but then there's a hurricane and they have to drop everything and cover the hurricane. or maybe something really dramatic happens in the arts world. There's some scandal at MoMA. They have to drop everything and cover that. And so sometimes it's just doesn't really fit into somebody's schedule. And then other times you don't know what situation the gallery or venue that you are trying to get into is at. Because I had a studio visit with a pretty high-end gallery in Boston. This was like 20 years ago, long time ago. And I was so sure that I had a pretty good chance because I was recommended by one of my colleagues who was like one of their number one artists, like sold very well, extremely successful artist. And so I got the studio visit with the gallery owner and they came over, looked at my stuff and everything. They were very nice. And then later on, they wrote me a letter and said, oh, I'm really sorry. I don't think this is the right fit right now. And I was like crushed because this was like, could have been such a big deal if it had turned out. But then actually later on, I think within like a year, the gallery closed. And then I thought to myself, okay, maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe not. Who knows? Maybe it just was a bad fit, but you don't know the circumstances. And a lot of the times it's not you. Let's see. Maria saying, want to say thanks for these live streams. All of you at ArtProf do for us who don't have access to fine arts education. Well, thank you so much, Maria. And thank you for your support, guys. I mean, these streams are pretty boring if it's just me. It's way more fun when you guys are here interacting with me and asking questions. And yo, LK, you can't escape subjectivity when evaluating art, which is why I try not to take rejection too seriously. Yeah, it's sort of like, I don't like eating pickles, okay? My kids love pickles. They will just eat like five of them. And I'm like grossed out at the thought of eating a pickle. It's not because pickles are bad. It's just some people don't care for them. I happen to really like eating chocolate. I have a friend who's like, I don't eat chocolate. I only eat cheese. I'm like, what's wrong with you? But like, that's pretty much what it comes down to a lot of the times. Okay. Alana Kathleen is saying art shows in the scene in my city that involve a lot of my peers tend to be very mates club, friends favored over all the applicants, which seems similar to the flawed juring process. Yes, that is absolutely true. People have very particular allegiances and it's very cliquey, the art world. It's like a little clubhouse and you got your little groups and everything. And sometimes you're not part of that group. You're not going to get in. And it's frustrating. I mean, sometimes it's just social dynamics. There definitely are artists who I maybe respect professionally. Like I like their work, but like they don't get along with me. So it's like, it doesn't really matter what your work is if that person doesn't really like you, right? Which is really unfair because you think you would be able to get over your dislike of that person and just evaluate the artwork. But it does not always work that way, unfortunately. New role is saying, I took fine arts in university, had a personal problem that ruined 4 years. Finding this channel recently has been amazing because I can learn and catch up what I missed in university. Cheers from Malaysia. Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad that we are a resource for you because I think that here's the thing. What's complicated about it is that I do teach at a brick and mortar art school and I'm all for teaching in person and having that personal, like in real life interaction. I love that so much, but there's a real limit to how many people you can reach. I mean, usually in a semester, like tops, I'll have 40 students. I will never have more than that in a semester. And it's just, you think about the numbers of people you can reach by giving a lecture online. It's really quite powerful to think about that. So I'm glad that we can really help you guys out with that. And number five, reason why you might be rejected, somebody else was already in. And I don't mean as in you applied for a job and there was no job listing. What I mean is when they opened the job, they already knew they were going to hire the department head's wife's son, right? And the thing is, a school can't just be like, oh, we're going to hire this person. They have to go through and do a whole process for the public face of that, because it's not fair for them just to give it to somebody without any review decision. And so they have to open it up and interview all these other candidates. But a lot of the times they've already made up their minds. And sometimes it's like, this person got their girlfriend a job. they didn't have any experience, but who cares? It's their girlfriend. And so they get in. I mean, there's a lot of nepotism out there and a lot of situations, and people are shameless about it sometimes. I mean, I just cannot believe, like, I feel like I'd be very embarrassed if the whole world knew that I got a job because, like, my husband told them to hire me. Like, I would feel really bad about that, but I guess some people don't care. But I have to admit, if I was in the situation, it's not like I would fight it that hard. But what I'm saying is that sometimes people have already decided and you're just there for the pomp and circumstance, for them to be able to say, oh, we interviewed all these candidates, we considered all these people. They have to go through the motions of the hiring. And I have been through so many rounds of applying for teaching jobs at the college level and everything that I have learned my lesson of not taking it personally. Because if I did, I would have stopped teaching and making art like 20 years ago, because it freaking hurts. The first couple times when you don't have this knowledge, when you don't know what the system is really like, you end up taking all of it personally. And I used to think to myself, what's wrong with me? I'm like, what am I not doing? There must be something wrong with me that is making it so that I am not getting these jobs. And then it took me a long time to realize, you know what? It's not me. It's the particular circumstances. And a lot of the times it does not have anything to do with me. So here's a question, guys. How do you deal with these situations? A couple things that I would recommend. The first thing is, when you apply for something, this is my procedure. I apply for something and then I forget about it. Because I get a lot of students, they say to me, oh, well, I found out about this fellowship that I really want to apply for and I'm waiting to hear back. And I'm like, just don't think about it. Like, a lot of people get very worked up about it. I just like click send and then it's over. Like, fine, if I hear back, good. But in my view, that application doesn't exist anymore. And I've already moved on to something else. Because once you start lingering, that's not such a great thing. And you got other things to do. Work on your work. Think about your studio practice. That is not something you want to spend time really thinking about. Andreas is saying, I wouldn't mind getting in through nepotism. Yeah, I know. I say that, it would, but it wouldn't. I'd be like, I got the job. So, I mean, who wouldn't act that way? Another thing you can do to help with all of this, commiserate with other artists, which is basically what we're doing now. We're all sharing our horror stories, because then you realize, oh, I'm not the only one. Everybody else really experiences this, and we can't all be bad. I mean, like, there's got to be a bunch of us that are pretty okay artists. And so if you find out that, oh, wow, this is everybody else's experience, it feels better. And I would say the mindset I recommend you guys take on rejection. Rejection is part of the process. You have to do it. Same thing I tell my drawing students. You have to make bad drawings. If you want to get good drawings, you have to make some bad ones. And same thing with rejection. If you want to get those opportunities, you have to accept rejection as part of the process. You guys have probably heard people say things like, well, if you're not getting rejected, you're not putting yourself out there. And that's true. I don't know anybody who got everything. Like, I have some colleagues who are extremely high up on the food chain in the art world who had their years of not getting into anything. And then all of a sudden they like win the Guggenheim Fellowship. So it's like, there was nothing wrong with these artists at the time. It's just, it wasn't really the right time. Now, what I would just say, guys, I know this is really challenging because it is easy to wallow in self-pity because, trust me, I have so been there, just picking myself to pieces. It's not a good thing. But sometimes there is a happy ending, okay? Because I applied for the Massachusetts Cultural Council Fellowship for 20 years. I started applying in 1998. Which is when I had just gotten out of art school. And the way that they do the fellowship is every other year, certain disciplines come up. So I didn't apply every year because there were some years my discipline wasn't up. But then after 20 years of applying for this fellowship, I won it in 2018. So I'd say that was worth it. It took a while, and I hate people who want it when they were like out of art school for a year. I was out of art school for 20 years, but who cares? I mean, that fellowship was really like the one like major award I've ever won. Like I've won some other like smaller grants, but that one was like I got to go to the State House, got to do all these cool things. It was like really, really great. So you can have a happy ending. But could you picture if I applied to that fellowship? Let's say I applied to it twice and then said, oh, screw this. I'm never gonna get it. I would not have won it in 2018. Yeah, it's depressing every year. Every year you're like, why? Why am I doing this to myself? But it does pay off. You just have to be really, really patient. Let's see. Shandy saying got rejected from my dream art school. It was really hard for me. Maybe I shouldn't have applied early decision and spent more time on my application. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Shandy. I know that the whole early admission thing is really hard on a lot of people. And I don't know what the circumstances are. Some schools will let you reapply, but I know that that stings. The college thing feels like a really big deal. But I will tell you, my whole feeling about college admission is that if you are a driven artist and you are passionate about what you do, it shouldn't matter where you go to school because you will make the best of any circumstance. And I definitely have read about high achieving students who go to like an Ivy League, but then they end up being a really small fish in a giant pond, and some of them really don't do well. I've also read about people who go to a very small pond and they're a big fish and they flourish because they actually have the confidence to do really well. Actually, I got that from Frank Bruni, who's a New York Times op-ed columnist. He wrote this wonderful book. You guys should read it. I can't remember the exact title. It's something like Who You Are Is Not Where You Go. Look up Frank Bruni, Bruni. Shandy, I would read that book. I think it would really give you perspective on that because I know that's really, really hard. Let's see. Jacinto Velazquez, I'm auditioning for an art high school that I was rejected from last year. A lot of the application process is artwork that must be created on the spot in 30 minutes. Oh man, that's really stressful. Sheesh, I don't think that's something I would want to do. Let's see. And how do I deal with the stress of creating artwork on the spot? I mean, I think you probably need to do several test runs. Like, just tell yourself, I don't know what the time period is for doing the exam, but just say, okay, at 2 o'clock, I'm going to start this exam. And you just do it over and over again so that at a certain point, it doesn't feel so foreign. I think it's really just making yourself do it over and over again. Like, one of the reasons I got good at lecturing, honestly, is because I practice my lectures in the car when I drive to work. So I'm like driving to work and I'm like, so three of the key factors that you would like to consider as a visual, like, I feel like an idiot, but I have gotten much better at public speaking for that reason. So a lot of it's just practice and getting used to that. Let's see. Shandy's saying getting rejected made me feel awful. I haven't been feeling like making art since. You know what? That is totally natural, Shandy. I totally get that. That's okay. All right. You don't have to make art for a little while. If you just are like, so burned out and so tired, take a break. It really is okay to do that. Maria Rev saying, does it have to be created on the spot, not prepared beforehand, or at least worked on? A lot of schools, Maria, that I've seen that do that. They just, you have to do it all in one go. It's stressful. I never had to do anything like that, but I know some schools do that. Sister Bear is saying nepotism is called the Chicago way. Happened to me when I found out it hurt a lot, but then I remember I'd rather be in a work environment that will reward my merit. Absolutely. It's like, do you want to work with people like that? Like, that's not really the best environment. And Maria Casado is saying, how is the judging process different for art schools versus a fine arts program at a regular college? That's probably going to take another stream for me to describe, Maria, but I think basically an art school has like a whole admissions committee that only looks at the portfolios. At a liberal arts college, what a lot of people do is they go through regular admission, but they might say, contact the art department and say, hi, I want to apply and show my portfolio. Can I have this reviewed by faculty? So it's a little bit different. What I would just say, Maria, call the school and the art department at that school and ask them what's the best procedure because you don't know. Let's see. Artwists is saying 9 by 12 pieces in their portfolio. It's a size you enjoy working on. portfolios due in less than a month. How important do you think size of portfolio piece is? I don't think it matters that much in the scheme of the actual portfolio, but I do think long term, you don't want to limit yourself to one size because once people start to ask you to work bigger, if you don't have that experience, you're going to have a really hard time. A lot of my students, when I taught freshman drawing, would freak out because I'd make them do these huge drawings, like 3 foot by 4 foot, and they'd complain a lot about it because it's a ton of work. And my reasoning was, well, look, now that you've done a drawing that big, if I ask you to do a drawing that's 2 feet by 3 feet, what's your reaction? They go, oh, no problem. I'm like, that's why. So that way you have that versatility. And let's see, Traha Space, they're in Chicago. You want to do more gallery shows, combines many influences that have left me too illustrative for the fine art shows and too fine art for the illustration shows. That is a very classic concern for a lot of artists. We should do a whole stream about that, actually. But that's a common issue that some people, it's like they just don't fit in either genre. But in my opinion, that's a good thing. Not in terms of like trying to get into the shows necessarily, because that probably can hurt you, but creatively, I think it's very exciting to straddle between those two areas. And Blue Run is saying 7 out of 10 jobs, they already have someone else lined up. Yes. It's so, I mean, you think I'm making this stuff up and you're like, oh, that's so, nah, I've been around at enough colleges that I know in a lot of other work situations that that really is what it is. Oh, good. I'm glad you guys are helping each other out about the rejections and because you just need to know that other people are going through the same thing. You're not the only ones. This really is just part and parcel of being an artist. Artwist is saying one of the professors that everyone hates at first and then loves them 2 weeks later. Yeah, it takes longer than 2 weeks though. It's more like 10 weeks. Actually, one of my students used to say to me, he was my TA later on. He said, Clara, being in your class is like having Stockholm syndrome. It's like, thank you. I guess that's a compliment. Anyway, guys, I hope that you will explore some of our other related videos, how to be a more productive artist, how to deal with artist block, how to stay motivated. And if you guys like our content and you want to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to make sure you don't miss out on anything. And thank you to our top Patreon supporters. You guys make these streams possible. You keep the lights turned on. Thank you guys so much for watching. I will see you next time. Bye.